The Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 22, Genesis. What I am going to do in this and the following segments is to go over what I believe to be the most important stories, list them, and make some comments about them for you to teach in every given section of the Hebrew Scriptures. And then we'll go into some detail about one or two, perhaps three of those stories. I am going to share with you excerpts from the King James Version so that you can, you know, hear them. And as I say, I hope that you are already reading that book for yourself or will be soon. And then I'm going to share with you in our resources so that you can open these up even as you're listening to what I have to say about them. I'm going to show you the way some storyteller or other, I really don't know who this person is, but it's just one of these Bible books for children, how she has retold the story. And then I'm going to show you some pages from a Bible comic book written for children and drawn for children, and to show you how the story is presented there. I don't think that we as Waldorf teachers should hesitate to look at many different ways in which some of the material we taught has been conveyed and is conveyed to children. It's not as though we have some kind of strange mastery over the whole thing. There are many interesting ways in which people are trying to teach children things, and we by no means have the monopoly on doing it best. So it's good, especially with this very powerful and often kind of recalcitrant material, how to bring it to the modern child in today's language. And then I will also share with you an approximation of how I told the story to my children, and what I left out, what perhaps I embroidered a bit, and why. So for the next few lectures, I will be, you know, giving this kind of overview and then honing in on some details. I have noticed again and again in conferences on third grade that I've gone to that certainly the instructors give people lists of the important things in the stories from the Hebrew Scriptures, and perhaps why this is more important and why that is less important. But they never give concrete examples about how you would really bring this to children. And I think it's very often, very easy, very often, to fall by the wayside, to let the very practical aspect go. So I hope, as we promise, we try to go to the what, the why, and certainly also the how as well. All right, so let's look at the content of Genesis. I would say that there are nine basic stories that are there. The 7 days of creation, the fall of Adam and Eve, the story of Cain and Abel, Noah and the flood, the Tower of Babel. And then we have the important figures, the patriarchs that I mentioned in a prior segment, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Very interesting. Every one of these patriarchs is accompanied by one or another figure as well. It may be his wife or others, but I would say for Abraham, it's very much the stories of Abraham and Lot that are important, and also Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham and Hagar, his wives, Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael, who is the son of Hagar, Isaac's half-brother. Jacob, very important, but so is his twin brother, Esau. And Joseph is accompanied by a whole group of brothers who play a very, very important role in his life. And as I said earlier, Isaac and Ishmael are the sons of Abraham. Jacob and Esau are the sons of Isaac. Joseph and his brothers are the sons of Jacob. So we have this powerful hereditary line that is really living here. And if I could just say this by the way, but it's very, very important, and it's yet another justification for those of you in the public schools why we should and must teach these stories. We will find the plots of these stories. Of course, we anthroposophists believe they're true, but even if somebody had just made them up, they are so brilliantly plotted. And in fact, you find, from a literary standpoint, every single plot that will ever be repeated in Western literature is already there in these stories, as well as basically every conceivable human emotion, human standpoint, human perspective. You get to see it often more than once, and you get to see it from a variety of standpoints. And just in the stories of the patriarchs alone, we will see how this is being laid down. It's as though we are getting here the outline of human destiny, human karma, for thousands and thousands of years to come. You know, the basic ways in which we're going to respond to the things that come towards us from the spiritual world and from the earth, they're all laid out right here. It's an incredible textbook. No wonder that Sigmund Freud was so deeply engaged in the study of biblical archetypes. He really felt that they provided tremendous insight into the varieties of human behavior and misbehavior as well. So let me give you some thoughts about the amount of time that you want to spend on this. Now, there are two basic ways of working with these stories. One of them is to tell a story every day, or maybe every other day, but that through the year, no matter what block you're teaching, you bring in a story from the Hebrew Scriptures, which means that you may only present it for 15 minutes rather than half an hour. You may have a shorter review because you're also reviewing things that are connected to your fiber block or to your house building block. But you will certainly be able to make a lot of traction that way, and you will be able to get through a great many of these important stories. That's one way of doing it. That's the way I did it. So we rarely had an actual block in these stories, but rather they were just the foundation for everything else that we did. Another way of doing it, which is the preference of most teachers, is to have several blocks during the year with these stories. But look at the schedule. You know, this isn't just alternating language arts and numbers anymore. You really have to work in a lot of other subjects. You're probably going to want to have two farming and gardening blocks, two house building blocks, perhaps just one fiber block, but definitely two blocks with measurement. So that doesn't leave you a whole lot of room. And that means if you're going to work that way, and some feel the intensity of the Hebrew scripture stories necessitates giving the children a chance to just breathe them in and not tell them for a few weeks and then go back in a block, you are going to have to work with tremendous discipline and intensity to get all of these stories told. So I'm going to basically be working on the assumption that you're probably going to do them as blocks, and that's where my advice will lie. So let's look at Genesis again. Okay, we're going to work first with the 7 days of creation. Of course, it's very charming if you spend a day on each day of creation, so that Monday they hear the first day, Tuesday the second day, and so on. I would say, you know what? You could do the 7 days of creation complete justice in 3 days. You could even do them in 2 days. I mean, it's not that complicated, what you're describing. It's pretty much the basic building blocks of creation. And one may want to poeticize a bit, and it's not to say that you can't be painting them for weeks to come, or drawing them, or going back and talking a bit about them. But as I've said, this is not the vital nerve of why we are teaching these stories. So don't spend forever on them. And, okay, I see your faces. It looks like, you know, it's the end of the world that I'm saying something that's so radical. No, it's not the end of the world. This is about the beginning of the world. But I would just say, really, go through them. The most important thing, what it's all leading up to, is the creation of man, of Adam, the human being, however you want to phrase that. So, of course, that's what you're going to dwell on. And you definitely want to do justice to Adam and Eve, and then the story of the fall. Although I have said that this part of Genesis is not yet truly the Hebrew Scriptures, but something more universal, there is no question that the story of the fall has an extremely powerful effect on the children. And you really want to, in a way, heighten the drama. Don't be surprised if children start to cry in the class. It's very, very moving for them. They're not just crying for Adam and Eve, they're crying for themselves. They sense that this story is indeed an allegory of what they themselves are going through or will soon be going through as they are expelled from the garden of childhood, this Edenic paradisal experience of being looked after, cared for, and having, you know, the sort of freedom within those carefully guarded walls. Now life is going to change. So certainly this is a profound psychological correlative for what the 9-year-old change is going to bring to the children, and you want to do it justice. Similarly, and here right away we're at the horns of, you know, real life, the story of Cain and Abel. That you can do in one main lesson. But there again, you want to do it in an austere way, not, you know, sort of building up the emotion or exaggerating the differences between these two brothers. But the recognition of the kind of simplicity of Cain's feeling, his emotion, it's just jealousy and what it leads to and how quickly it leads to that. And there again, it's interesting that that disobedience on the part of Eve, one might say curiosity, but also really the jealousy of not being a god herself and being told by the serpent, you know, you will be like a god. God is just jealous of your possibility of being like him. So go ahead, beat him to it. And here again, how that jealousy metamorphoses and manifests then through Cain. Jealousy, a very, very big issue in the Hebrew scriptures. And why shouldn't it be? It certainly is a very big issue in human life altogether. And Steiner says, even among spiritual beings. It's one of the most powerful dynamics that lives in the relationship of certain classes of beings to others. So that's very, very much there. So those two stories really have a poignancy and a power that is very, very good for the children, very good for them to hear. And I'm going to go back to the story of Cain and Abel as well. Noah, the story of Noah and the story of the flood. I would say again, a couple of days to go into that. You know, you can talk about Noah's simplicity of heart, his goodness, that the world was growing very wicked, and describe the building of the ark. Some teachers, when they go back, when they have the measurement block, will have the class go into a big field, perhaps, and measure out the ark with their cubits that they've newly discovered how to measure. So once again, in your house building, you might go back to this. It's a point of reference. It's a very powerful story as well. But it still is a preface to the real story, which begins with the true patriarchs. So the flood, the aftermath of the flood, the rainbow. I would not suggest that you go into the scene about Noah getting drunk and being naked. That's a little mature for the children, though Steiner says it has esoterically a great deal of significance. And that is followed then with the Tower of Babel, which is a story that you can tell in a couple of paragraphs of speech, really. There again, it need not be a very lengthy sort of thing, but it's good to describe it to the children and give them a feeling, again, of this sort of overreaching. And certainly it's a story that made the rounds after the destruction of the Twin Towers in 9/11. This quality of human pride aspiring to heights that are so unnecessary and unrealistic, and the inevitable fall that occurs. And that's it for the early part of Genesis. Interesting that it ends not exactly there. There's long genealogies that often appear in all of this, and we'll discuss later on why they keep coming up. But you see, it ends with the fragmentation of humanity. People can't even communicate with each other. They don't even speak the same language anymore. They're broken up into separate groups. This is the end of the fall. It's the final step of the fall, that the primal speech in which one could still speak to the gods or hear the gods' words, that's gone now. So this paves the way for the story of Abraham, which we will hear next.